This morning's reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you already taken down your Christmas decorations? Yes, no, yes, no. We haven't. We leave them up as long as possible. I think it needs something to carry us through from the joy and the busyness of Christmas through New Year, now called Twixmas, whatever that means, and up to Epiphany. Not to mention brightening up the dark nights. But today's reading is a bit about thinking about things, about these in-between times, about that span of time between the birth of Jesus and the beginning of his ministry. We know very little about the years between Bethlehem and Jesus' appearance at the River Jordan, asking to be baptized by John. Today's reading picks up the tale where we left off at Christmas, the Magi having come to pay homage to a king. On their way, they stop to ask Herod where to find him. Herod tries to smooth talk the Magi into letting him know how their quest turns out. But an angel of the Lord warns them to go home by a different way than they came, and they follow his advice. And on the subject of the Magi, we just sang that lovely song, a carol, and you'll be pleased to know that I have my Epiphany socks on. But the main character in this story is not the Magi. It's not Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. It's not even Herod, the evil and paranoid king. This is Joseph's story. This passage neatly falls into three sections. They obviously knew what a good sermon was made of. God's call into Egypt, what happens back at home, and God's call from Egypt to a final destination in Galilee. That young family did an awful lot of traveling. Now, I could have talked this morning about the obvious parallels in Matthew's gospel with Old Testament writings. We could have considered how Joseph's flight into Egypt recalls another Joseph, he of the coat of many colours, back in Genesis, who went to Egypt against his will, but who became Pharaoh's right-hand man and made it possible for the nation of Israel to survive, grow, and thrive, even under the hardship of slavery. Matthew also reminds us of the story of the baby Joseph, baby Moses, hidden in the bulrushes to protect him from Pharaoh's slaughter of newborn Hebrew boys in Egypt. It's clear that Matthew draws a connection between the return of Moses to Egypt after Pharaoh's death and Joseph's sudden return when he learns through a dream that Herod is dead. The young family's trip back to home to Israel reminds us of the journey Moses led through the wilderness as the Israelites escaped their captivity in Egypt and headed towards the promised land. Matthew connects the story of Jesus' early travels to God's call, protection, and provision for his people throughout history. And there are certain strong connections between Jesus, the refugee, and the plight of refugees throughout the world right now. Refugees who have been displaced by politics, war, and poverty struggle with the same fears and anxiety that Joseph and Mary must have experienced as they did whatever they could to protect the young child, Jesus. But what about the other aspect of this story? What happens meanwhile back at home? While it's important to see how the greater story of God's activity among his people is connected to and completed in the story of Jesus, we cannot ignore those middle verses, the ones that speak of appalling tragedy. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and ordered to be killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or younger, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. This fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. And this leads us to the question that bothers us all. How can a just and loving God allow evil to exist? How can God let innocent people suffer while evil people thrive and prosper? When it's your child, your parent, or loved one suffering, the pain is real. And the only question we can answer is, why, God? Importantly, the slaughter of those children in Bethlehem was not God's idea. It was Herod's idea. Herod the Great wasn't even a Jew. He was an Edomite, descended from Esau, not Jacob, whose sons would become heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Herod never felt secure in his position, and he was known for his paranoia and brutality. He even had his favorite wife and some of his sons murdered when he suspected them of treachery. He decreed that 40 Jewish nobles should be brought to Jericho to be killed when he died, so that there would be abundant mourning throughout the land at his death. Not a nice chap. Thankfully, the son who succeeded him decided not to carry out this final wish. Matthew is the only gospel to describe Herod's murder of the children in Bethlehem. Some scholars think that the event wasn't even noteworthy for first century historians to record, partly because it was one of the many atrocities committed by Herod, and partly because the number of children affected was probably no more than 20, given that Bethlehem was such a small village. Such violence against children may have been unremarkable by first century standards, given that children, like women, were considered to be little more than property at that time. They were expendable, but Matthew names it as an atrocity. What a wonderful wife I've got. We hear of children in our own country who are victims of human trafficking and slavery. Child abuse continues to escalate throughout our country and throughout the world. Atrocities against children are just as real now as they were in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. So when we ask, why God? How is this good news? It may not help to know that Matthew is painting a bigger picture of God's providence and protection for his people. Being reminded that God is not willing for any to perish, but wants to give each of us eternal life, may seem like an empty promise. Knowing that bad things happen to innocent people has more to do with our sinful condition than God's will for us, and it is difficult to explain. But we can't just shrug off the sorrow. We can't diminish the pain of the here and the now. It's a dangerous thing to be human, to be vulnerable, to face the fact of our own mortality. The good news is not always sweetness and light. That pretty baby in the manger grows up to die on a cross. God has to watch his own son, his only son, die a horrible death. And God grieves. God grieves all the exploitation and murders of innocent children. God grieves us when we turn away from him. God grieves as only a parent can grieve. I think that is why this story is part of the Christmas story. Christ came to be God with us, Emmanuel. He came to be God with us in our sorrow, God with us in our fear, God with us in our wandering and uncertainty, God with us always. The world is filled with darkness, with evil evident almost wherever we look, but God is with us. The violence that surrounded Christ's birth was the same violence that would eventually lead to his crucifixion. Christ went into every dark place we humans must go, even into the darkness of the grave. But he rose again. There is no darkness that can frighten God. God loves us, and he is with us always. Christmas is an amazing celebration. But the joy of Christmas depends on the joy of the Easter resurrection. There is a little detail in this story, Joseph's story, which we need to notice. Every time an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, Joseph immediately did what he was told to do. He did not ask, as the weeping mothers of Bethlehem must have asked, why God? He got up in the night, packed his family belongings, and he went where he was told to go. Even when he was afraid, he obeyed. Only Joseph saw this angel. Only Joseph had the dreams. Only Joseph knew the importance of his task to protect the Messiah from the danger of Herod. Just as Mary did not argue with the angel who told her she would give birth to the Savior of the world, Joseph did not argue with the angel who said, go. He just went. He answered God's call with action. And God is calling us today. He's calling us to be a voice for peace, for justice, and for grace. He's calling us to challenge the way things are in the world, to stand against evil when we see it, to be the presence of God for those who suffer violence and abuse, to let them know that God is with us, Emmanuel. As we become aware of God's constant working in our lives, we also are called to participate in that work. And I've said it before, that being a Christian is not a spectator sport. Whether we are sent to Egypt or Nazareth, whether we call to feed the hungry or clothe the naked or heal the sick, whether we comfort the bereaved or spread hope to those who've lost it, whether it is doing a job here in church that you can fulfill, God calls us. So at the beginning of this new year, may we, like Joseph, listen to God. Listen that we can hear his call. And when that call comes, may we answer it without hesitation, knowing that God is with us, Emmanuel. Amen.